The following podcast is a live recording of a radio show, first broadcast by Fresh FM, with the assistance from New Zealand On Air.
Hello, book friends. It is my favorite time of year. Not Christmas, though that's a close second. We are smack in the middle of the Founders Annual Book and Record Fair here in Nelson, a time where there are literally hundreds of thousands of books to browse in search of that hidden gem and next read. I can think of nothing better. Here to take us behind the scenes of this bookish wonderland is Peter Rigg, who has been volunteering at Founders for 9 years and is the current treasurer of Friends of Founders. Kia ora, Peter.
Kia ora, Claire.
Thank you so much for coming into the studio today. You have quite a notable book pedigree, if I recall correctly.
Yes, indeed. Yep.
Former owner of Page and Blackmore, beloved bookshop in town.
Yes. I started that up with Tim and Susie Blackmore, yeah, and my late wife, yeah. We opened that in 07, I think.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And before that, I had Page's bookshop.
Oh, so you really have bookshops in your blood.
Yes. We started Page's bookshop in 1984. Mm-hmm. So I've been selling books that long. Yeah.
Do you, was it a dream of yours when you were a kid to be a bookseller?
One of my dreams, yes, yes.
Dare I ask what some of the other ones were?
Just all the standard stuff.
Be an astronaut.
Yeah. That
be pilot. A cowboy.
Yeah, yeah.
Sail the high seas.
I worked on a chicken farm and a mixed farm in Cheviot for a while. I quite enjoyed that. The mixed farm in Cheviot was good, yeah.
Today I learned. I said today I learned. That would not have been my guess.
No.
So then I imagine you're still quite an avid reader. What have you been reading recently?
I haven't been reading a lot of fiction lately. I've been reading non-fiction. I'm reading a book by John Elledge called History of the World in 47 Borders.
Oh, as in like country borders?
Country borders,
oh,
yeah.
Interesting.
Interesting. Very interesting.
Any takeaways from that you can share?
Oh, well, of course, the border between North and South Korea, the Transnistrian border in, I've forgotten the name of the country now, but one of your listeners may know. Very interesting. And not only country borders, but some of the lines from the early states, Mason-Dixon line and things like that, goes into the history of those. So I found that really interesting.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
Another book was The Men Who Killed the News by a fellow called Eric Beecher, who's an Australian. And he goes into Hearst, Musk, Murdoch, and how they've,
rapidly evolving space, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, yeah. There's a lot of food for thought in those books. Yeah. Yep. And then I'm also a keen cyclist, and I'm just reading at the moment. Just one more kilometre to go, and then we end up in the showers by a fellow called Tim Hilton. Very good. Funny.
Is he also a cyclist then?
Yes. Yeah. And so is his son. The son came up with the title of the book.
That sounds like me when I'm hiking and I'm always just planning what my next snack is or what dehydrated meal I get for lunch. Or if you're on the way out, you're like, one more kilometer and then we get to sit down and then we get to have a beer. So forget the shower. I put the beer before the shower. Yeah. Priorities.
We don't have beers now, not at my age. Long rides. Yeah. Coffee.
No, fair enough. Fuel, literal fuel. What do you usually think about when you're cycling?
Oh, well, I cycle with friends, so it's usually talking, gossip, usual things. Just one more hill. How far to go now?
Any races happening?
No, my racing days are over for me, yes.
Well, you're very sensible.
I've had three crashes, broken femur, broken shoulder.
Okay, yes, maybe not
broken
then.
Broken wrist, yeah.
Fair enough. Okay, learn from experience.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what I'm hearing. So we know a little bit about your history with books and book selling, but tell me a little bit about how you got involved with Friends of Founders and got into this role.
Well, I had sold the shop to Joe Dippy, and I had a lot of books left over from the shop, and I thought, what am I going to do with these? And I thought, I know, I'll bring them down here to Founders. So I wandered down here in my van with a bootload of books, and I was unloading them. They let me come all the way into the back room.
Oh, that's nice
sorted.
Of them. They didn't make you carry it box by box.
One of the ladies said, oh, what are you doing now? You're retired. And I said, well, nothing real. I'm looking for volunteer work. She said, you'll be ideal.
So you walked into that, didn't you?
Yeah, I walked into that. Yeah. So, I've started working there more or less straight after I'd sold the shop. So I've been in books ever since.
So you haven't really retired at all, have you?
No, not really. No. And I get just as much satisfaction from going through the books, secondhand books, that I do from the old new ones. One of the lovely things about the job is you'll get a box of dross, just blinking old paybacks, all moth-eaten and everything, and at the bottom of the carton will be a gem. And I think that's all worthwhile. Yep.
It is the feeling of discovery and fortune when you think, oh, there's nothing here, it's nothing good, and then suddenly you find that one book you've always been looking for.
Well, not so much looking for, but yeah, just finding one that you know is valuable and rare. Yeah.
Have you ever been part of the running of the books then, that initial stampede?
Have I been, sorry?
Isn't it like on the first day of the festival, all the people run in out the gates?
Yes, yes. I come out and watch. But I'm in the part of the sales that are bulk buys, which is where all the dealers come in. Mm-hmm. And no, they don't get a preview or anything like that. They come in just like everyone else in the public. And the dealers go straight to all the valuable books, and we're just swamped. It's about five of us on bulk buys, and they're coming in with sacks full of books. So they need to all be sorted and priced, and yeah. So it's full on mayhem.
Oh, I believe that. All right, so backing up a bit, you voluntold yourself into only semi-retirement. Were you the treasurer the entire time, or have you done different bits?
No. The existing treasurer left in about 3-4 years ago, I suppose, so I was the muggins who put his hand up. Yeah. And they all thought I would know something, having my own business.
Do you?
There are others who are more qualified than I am.
So before you put your hand up for the treasurer role, what did you do?
Oh, I was just one of the sorters. Yep. Just one of the blips. Although, of course, I'm the one who spots the gems, whereas others who are perhaps not so knowledgeable about books don't or miss them, can miss them. Yeah.
So tell me then, I mean, if your guys are going through hundreds of thousands of books, this is weeks, months, entire year on a rolling basis?
Yeah, we sort 2 days, two mornings a week, Tuesdays and Friday mornings, we're here. Yep. And Jack, the caretaker at the fair, always makes sure we have plenty of books to sort. And so do the general public, of course, who bring them into the windmill.
Yeah. What is the sorting process like?
They're put into bins at the windmill, and then they're transported to the sorting room where they're deposited. We usually have three at a time, and then we just go through, pick the cartons out, pick the books out, and go through them, pick a handful at a time, and just go through and sort them, what's worth keeping, what's not. Books that are chewed and dirty and bent and been wet, they're no good. So it's...
And so you're sorting by presumably genre, more or less.
Yes, we are.
Hardcover, paperback, anything else?
We sort them into categories. New Zealand sorted into natural history and history and literature and also New Zealand authors. And then we've got art and how to art, and science, philosophy, psychology, children's books, of course, and that's subdivided again. Yeah. So there's boxes all around the wall of the sorting room that we chuck them, don't chuck, put them gently into. Yeah. So that's what we do. We're sorting into what the genre and then condition is. Mm. If they're in good condition, near new, we put a price on them, $2 or $3. If they're not worth pricing, then they're just unpriced, and that's $1 in the fee.
And then, I mean, does someone also have to go around and just perpetually collect banana boxes or fruit boxes to keep up with how many books?
We've got a huge stack of fruit boxes. They go line the walls. The rooms out here are insulated with banana boxes. Yeah.
Imagine it'd be quite cozy.
Yes.
Is there a title or two that just there seem to be infinite copies of that come through?
Rugby books.
You said that so derisively.
And we can't sell a lot of them, so yeah, except for the really old ones.
Mm.
But there are perennials. I mean, Michael King's Penguin History of New Zealand, we always sell that. Mm. We get lots of it. And it sells at the fair. Yeah, that's a good one all the time.
Mm.
And then any books by some of the older or more established New Zealand publishers like Reeds and the old government press, yeah, they're usually all worth keeping, the valuable books, yeah.
I feel like every used book fair I go to, there's always a heap of Danielle Steele. There's always a heap of Marion Keyes, and then, you know, Dan Brown and all the other James Patterson perennial.
Mm. They've got to be in good condition. For those very popular authors, they've got to be in good condition before we'll keep them.
Mm.
Yeah.
And so you're sorting throughout the year. People are donating throughout the year and you're sorting. And then in the kind of countdown fair, like now, or during the fair, what changes? What ramps up?
Oh, nothing really. A lot of books come in, of course. I think the fear reminds people that they've got to get rid of books. And so even though most of us are selling, there's a small team out the back still keeping and pricing books. And of course, we can't get all the books out at once in the book fair. So there's books coming out every day of the fair.
And so some people are still sorting, some people are manning the tables and selling.
Yep.
Other people are?
Just stop restocking. Yeah.
Perpetually. Sounds exhausting.
Yeah.
So what would you say for someone who felt a bit intimidated and didn't quite know how to browse? What would your recommendation be?
Well, you'd find what you're interested in. If you're interested in sci-fi and fantasy, you go to that section. Or if you're interested in cars, you go to the transport section. The signs around the wall of the Energy Centre, and there are also signs on sticks telling you where they all are. So we like to think it was fairly clear. And on the quieter days, you can quite easily read those signs. On the first day, it's just mayhem and good luck to you.
Yeah. Okay, so it's come at the right time, and then you get a bit more leeway to browse at your leisure is what I'm hearing.
Yes. You come after the long weekend, the week after, those weekdays. It's pleasant.
Mm.
Yeah.
And are you guys still looking for volunteers?
Yes, in fact, yes. Because we've got probably about 15 or 16 volunteers, of which probably 10 or 12 are there every Tuesday and Friday. But of course, some only can come on Tuesday and some can only come on a Friday. So we're not always there. And sometimes, like this year, for example, we've struggled to keep up with demand. We've even had to, come in on extra days to clear the backlog. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
All right, so it sounds like you are always keen. If you find a, if someone finds a book they want during the sorting process, is there a any dibs?
Yes, well, there's two things you can do. You can either borrow the book.
Oh, that's true.
And bring it back, or if you want to keep it, you
go
pay
buy
for
it.
It goes into the And of course, I have to mention not only books. We have LPs and DVDs and CDs and games. So I've got a blurb here from our LP person. Am
Good.
I allowed to read it out?
Read the blurb.
Okay, LPs. Over 5,000 albums, including new and...
Ooh, can you read their handwriting?
Unopened LPs. Desirable Japanese Opie recordings. Someone might know who that is. Amazing jazz selection, hundreds of mint condition douche gramophone LPs. 45s, this year have over 1,000 45s from a fastidious collector. Rare New Zealand, US and UK research at great prices. DVDs, hundreds of titles, blockbusters to art house. CDs, over 5,000 CDs covering every genre, something for everyone. And cassette tapes, back in fashion.
That's
several
true.
Hundred cassettes from the 60s, 70s, 80s and 90s. And in the music section, or the LP record section, which is in another part between the Energy Centre and the Granary, there's also biographical music books.
Oh.
Hmm. So.
Well, all of those things are back in fashion, and I didn't quite realize there were that many LPs at the, well, I guess it's in the title, Book and Record Fair, but how good.
Yeah, and there's an auction as well for LPs, which he hasn't put down here.
Oh, well, I'll find the details. I'll pop them in show notes.
Yeah.
But that's quite cool, and... I know my brother has just gotten a record player, and now, you know, for birthdays and Christmases for the foreseeable future, all I have to do is get him a record. So that's great, actually.
Yes.
I'll go look for one.
My brother in Melbourne, whose latest purchase is a LP player, and he's as proud as punch.
Oh, they're back in vogue. They're really cool now. Yeah. I'm tempted. I mean, even a Lemming sells, like, record players.
Mm.
So how good. Right. What, for you, when you still get time to go to used book fairs, might be this one, might be ones elsewhere, what's the best find you've ever had, the best gem?
The best gem was a first edition hardback of Lord of the Rings.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so it was... the three separate books, first editions.
All three of them?
Yeah. Because they were so rare, we couldn't sell them here in Nelson. We sold them on a New Zealand website.
Mm.
Yeah, and we got over $1,000 for those. But the shame of it is that obviously they were bought in by someone who didn't realise what they were.
Mm.
And we had no way of knowing who that person was.
Mm. Yeah, you almost would have wanted to be like, are you sure you want to give these away?
Yeah.
Oh.
No, that was, we were quite excited with those.
Do you, if you get a book that you think looks promising, do you immediately go check the...
Yes.
Mm.
Oh, it's a good point. Yes. We have a folder of valuable books, which an author order, and so we check those. We think, oh, that's worth checking. And yes, most of them only $4 or $5, but you get the odd one, you know, it's 60, 70 bucks.
That's nothing to turn your nose up at.
Local histories, they're the ones.
Mm.
Yeah, because they're always limited print runs, and so had never reprinted.
Mm.
Yeah.
Oh, well, then I should ask you then, because my mother-in-law Karen State, who is a historian, is always on the lookout for copies of one of her local history books, no longer in print, Pasta, Prayer, and Promise. So,
what?
Pasta, Prayer, and Promise.
Oh, I haven't heard of that one.
So if you ever see that, I will buy that off you. And then I'll get a great daughter-in-law, brownie points.
There was a book on the Mai Tai settlement up the Mai Tai, and that was only a small print run, and we were always asked for that when I had the bookshop.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
And I never see it. It doesn't come in.
Okay, so you found first edition Lord of the Rings. That's very cool. Is there anything else that you found and then you were like, I have to have this?
I found my grandfather was an industrial conciliator.
I do not know what that is.
No. No, back in the days when there was a Department of Labor and there were strong unions, an industrial conciliator was employed by the Department of Labor to mediate between the Department of Labor or the employer and the employee and the union.
Mm.
So, yes, he used to do that. And there was a book came out on the history of them. And I opened up and there was staring back at me was my grandfather. So, yeah, that was – and I didn't know the book existed.
Mm.
And I just spotted it and thought, ooh, I wonder.
Yeah. Oh, my grandfather did this.
Yeah.
Oh, that's how serendipitous.
It was. It was a lovely find. Mm. Yeah.
And is there something you've always hoped you'd find but haven't had any luck yet?
No, not really. I did think about that, but no.
Mm.
I think what I have wanted, I've found.
That's very, how good for you.
Yeah, that's right. Including that one that I didn't even know I didn't realize I wanted until I saw it.
That's true. Yeah. Sometimes the best books just have, the right books maybe, have a way of finding,
yes,
way of finding you.
Yeah. I'm
trying to think what the best book I ever got from the Founders Book Fair was, and best is, of course, quite relative. I did find a copy of Wildwood Dancing by Juliette Marillier, which is a young adult fantasy book that is no longer in print.
Mm.
And even though I'd already read it, I just snipped that one up. I was like, ooh, add that to my collection. I was very happy with that one. Then, you find little random things.
Well, that's right.
Just make you happy.
You find books that you didn't realize you wanted or needed until you see it.
Mm.
That used to be the joy when I had my own shop. Yeah.
Mm.
I'd purchase a book from a publisher and think, oh, that looks interesting.
and now you have a whole building full of books.
Yes, that's right.
For you to peruse.
Yeah.
And so all the funds that are raised just go back into Founders?
It does, yes.
Mm.
There's just been that new exhibition on cycling that's been done. And there's a big event coming up soon, which I'm not allowed to talk about at this stage. But, yeah, we're waiting for that. Well, I'm quite excited that it will happen. Mm.
So it is quite of perennial importance to Nelson, then, the fair and people's contributions and
yes.
attendance.
Yeah. Well, it's one of the few things that the council own that they don't have to spend money on to improve or the council budget just goes into maintenance, whereas we do all the fund all the improvements and the exhibitions and so on. Yeah. So it's quite satisfying.
Cool.
Yeah.
Mm.
When you think of something, the School of Music and the Theatre Royal and that sort of thing, always needing money. Yeah, this place doesn't.
Yeah, books just kind of keep it ticking along.
They do. Yeah.
And then I guess within Founders, there is a new little used bookstore.
Yes.
And is that related? Does that kind of help move some of the the stock?
Because we don't sell everything at the fair.
Mm.
And there's a lot of stuff that is thrown out after the fair.
Mm.
Recycled, I should say. We decided there was room for the good quality used books to be sold through a second-hand bookshop because the last second-hand bookshop in the area closed last year.
Oh, that was out in Richmond, wasn't it? Yeah, that was gutting.
And he gave us all his books.
Mm.
Mm. we invited him along to the opening too. He came along to the opening of our book vault.
So that is when you guys are sorting and there's maybe a more contemporary title or recently published or new kind of.
Yeah, well, not necessarily new. Mm. Just if it's, sometimes old books can be, have been looked after and they look pristine, so we can sell those, yeah.
Mm.
And it's still, there's still so many books coming in that it doesn't detract from the quality of the pickings at the fair.
Mm. Well, when the fair is on, do you know if the book vault will be open?
It's going to be closed for the first weekend.
That's fair.
Of the long weekend, but the second weekend it'll be open.
Mm. Mm. And so that...
The only reason for that is because the volunteers who run the bookshop also help at the fair.
Oh, so yes, all hands on deck. No, yes, fair enough.
Yeah.
And so that is, because I know it's only open Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, couple...
Yes, 4 days a week.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, so that's quite good, because I did wonder where the stock for that came. And it's quite a cute little space in there.
Yeah,
it can kind of keeps going back further than you think.
Yeah.
Ah.
And, of course, it also sells LPs.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
Mm.
Well, I'm very much looking forward to this.
I'll be glad when it's all over for another year.
But then you just have to keep sorting, you know. You just have to get ready for next year already.
The sorting's good fun.
Yeah. Ah, so is that your favourite part?
Yeah. They're a good crowd. We're a good bunch of volunteers and we all get on well. I think that's one of the secrets of success. You've got to fit in well with the group.
Mm.
Yeah. We haven't had many disasters.
Well, maybe, I mean, I'll ask you about that after the show. Well, thank you so much for coming in to talk a bit about your Mahé with the Book Fair. And so I will give everyone the remaining details, which is that the book fair is still open for a few more days from 10 a.m. till 4:30 p.m. through Sunday, 7 of June. Entry is $2, or you could buy a Book Express Pass for $5 that will let you visit as many times as you like, and you can guess which one I've got. And hopefully some of you have seen the Book Fair Pass giveaway that I've been running on social media, and there's still, I've kept a few for the middle of the fair, so if you're only listening now, head to my Instagram at AccidentalTokyo to find out how to win one of those. And I've got something a little bit different for our usual closing bookmark this week, because over the opening weekend, Fresh FM, for some strange reason, allowed me to take one of their portable mics for a spin. So after shopping for some books myself, I decided to see what other people had walked away with. So let's go hear who else has been a little bit booked.
Hi, so I'm April and I got some old-timey Agatha Christie crime collection, three different books in one. And then I also managed to score a Stephen King Holly book, which is really exciting because I like to collect all those sort of books.
I found this book on the periodic table and I'm really excited to read it.
I got this Faden art book, which I actually was hoping they would have. So I was a little surprised. I was watching a Friends episode the other night after work and I saw it on their table and I was like, oh, I remember that book. I wonder if it'll be at the book fair. And there it was.
Score.
That was a massive score. And then this other one, the Christopher Kimball, The Cook's Bible. America's Test Kitchen. So basically, he just tells you how to make food perfectly, and I can't believe I found this here. I love cooking, and that is a dream.
I got a couple of cookbooks, some mystery and crime books, and a few children's books for my nephew.
Anything you were super jazzed to find?
There is a book actually that my father recommended to me. What was it called? Matthew Flinders' Cat. It's quite an old book, but I found a little paperback version in there, and so that was pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm from Nelson, and my family married two kids, and they all found out about this book fair, I don't know how many years ago, and we've been coming every year for yonks. It's a thing that we have to get up early on a Saturday morning and make sure we've got the car park, and queue up for, you know, 20 minutes beforehand, even though everyone flies in the door within about 2 minutes and then there's no queue. Yeah, and it's become a bit of a thing, and my daughter, who now in her early 20s lives in Blenheim, has come over especially to meet us here at the book fair, so it's become a real thing. I don't know how many years we've been doing it, maybe 5 or 6 years. I'm not very much of a book person, but my family are. My wife has got so many books but because they're so cheap, and she finds really, really good books that obviously people have read once or twice, and this almost like new, she buys some gifts for people. I generally carry around the books and am the pack horse. Yeah, she was trying to cull her collection that she had when we were going to check out and couldn't get rid of any. And it was only $26 or something for like a whole bag full that we could barely fit in the bag. So, yeah, it's great. And I found a book 2 years ago, I think it was. I like photography. I go straight to photography books. And I found one, and now I'm struggling to think of the guy's name. And it was awesome. It was from a famous photographer who's still around, I think. And I went home and I thought, I can't believe I found this book. And I went online or whatever to find it. And it was like most other copies, even secondhand ones, were over $200. And it cost me like $4. So I've still got it. It's very, a treasure that I've found. So, yeah, love it. It's great.
The podcast you just listened to was a live recording of a radio show, first broadcast by Fresh FM, with support from New Zealand On Air. Fresh FM is a community access media station based in Te Tauihu, the top of the South Island, New Zealand. The funding of Access Media makes these podcasts possible. To find similar programs by other community media stations, go online to accessmedia.nz. If you, or your group, would like to know more about how you can have a program on our station, please contact us. Visit our website, freshfm.co.nz, for our contact details.